All right, Ed, thanks very much. Let's get to our guest, Dennis Gartman, chairman of the University of Akron's Endowment Investment Committee and the retired editor and publisher of the Gartman Letter. Dennis, thanks very much for being with us. We're hearing some debate even among those who see recession coming. They agree on that, but some see it as short and shallow. Others are saying it could be much deeper and longer lasting. Now, I know you're bearish on equities. Do you favor the latter thesis?
I tend to favor the former thesis. I think it'll be short. I think it'll be far less dramatic than the recession of 2008 and 9. I think it'll be something similar to the recessions that we saw in the late 60s and early 70s. I don't think it'll be terribly severe. I think that the unemployment rate will go to 5.5% before it's done. And the only disconcerting circumstance that I see happening is that there will be a rise in job payments in salaries and earnings that'll constrict earnings of corporations. But I don't think the recession is going to be terribly severe, and I'm not lying awake at night quaking that there's going to be something similar to 2007, 8, and 9. It'll be demonstrably less severe than that.
Dennis, does that mean that the Federal Reserve is more, prone, perhaps, or should I say, is it easier for them now to make a policy mistake?
The Fed always makes policy mistakes, Rashad, and they'll make another policy mistake this time. It's just a matter of how severe shall the mistake be. I think the overnight Fed funds rate gets to 5.25, maybe 5.5 at the terminal level. But then the real question shall be, how long shall it be before the Fed begins to ease monetary policy? And if I've learned anything in the 48 years of being involved with watching markets and trading markets, commenting upon markets and watching Fed policy, if I've learned one thing, it's that when the Fed begins to change monetary policy, when it goes from easing to tightening or from tightening to easing, it takes rates much farther and makes them last much longer than anybody, even the most radical amongst us at the shifting point, wants to anticipate. So I think that the Fed takes the overnight Fed funds rate to 5.25, 5.5. And we may well get there in mid-2023, but I think it could be mid-2024 before they even consider, for a moment, easing monetary policy. I think they'll end up keeping the rate at that level for a long period of time and probably surprise a lot of people in the process of doing so.
Well, that's the thing. It depends on how you define a mistake, I suppose, because the markets at the moment, as you say, are seeing the Fed retreating from a peak in rates next year, whereas the chair himself is maintaining that rates will stay higher for longer. And yes, if you do that, if you keep them higher for longer and it causes recession, but you beat inflation, to some it would be a mistake, to some it would be victory.
Very, very good, very good statement. I think that's exactly the way you should look at it. To some it'll be a mistake, to some it shall be victory. If you're trying to fight inflation, it'll be a victory. If you're trying to stave off recession, you will lose the war.
So Dennis, which would be the better mistake in your view?
I think defeating inflation would be the better mistake. I think one hates to see that anybody loses their job, and one hates to see an unemployment go from 3.5% to 5.5%. One hates to see any weakness in the economy whatsoever, but I think we need to see a modest recession to eke out the inflation rate, and I think that's the better course of action. We'll see if that's the course that they follow. Pardon me, I have a very bad cold, so I'm losing my voice. But Mr. Powell has made it abundantly clear that rates will stay, as you said, higher for longer than anybody wants to anticipate, and I think it'll be at least 2024 before we see any sign of a movement from the other direction of easing the overnight Fed funds rate. Plus, we have the fact the Fed has about 8.4, 8.6 or 8.7 trillion balance sheet that they have to run back down to 4 to 5 trillion before it's done, taking $95 billion out of their assets over the course of the next 4 or 5 years, which I think will be deleterious to share prices generally anyway. So it's the Fed, the economy has to fight a Fed that's going to be tightening policy for a longer period of time than anybody right now wants to anticipate.
Well, I was going to ask exactly that point. Do you think that the effect of quantitative tightening is not really, at the moment, perhaps being factored in?
I don't think it's being talked about. It should be talked about more seriously. I think it's far more serious than people want to anticipate, people want to think, and that people give it credit for. So I think that the fact that they're going to take, and they have to be consistent about it because they've made the statement that that's what they're going to do. They're going to be taking $95 billion out every month. That's as if you've taken your foot off the gas pedal for a long period of time. The car will slow down. It has to. It can't do otherwise.
We have a lot of changes that are in our midst at the moment, which could really affect what the Fed's work is. One thing is this move of reshoring and friendshoring. One would think, I guess, that that is inevitably inflationary because the whole reason you were producing in China and Vietnam is it was cheaper. I mean, it was reliable, but it was cheaper. You bring it home, it'll be more costly. The other thing is that maybe the economy, because of the pandemic, is restructuring, and it takes a while for that to play out. And then the supply chains, and then there's China coming back to perhaps full growth with reopening. So it's a lot to consider. Do you think the next 12 months is just really going to be bumpy?
I think the next 12 months will be bumpy. I don't think it'll be deep potholes, but I think there'll be potholes along the way. The car will bounce as we go down the street. I think that expecting China to do better and to do demonstrably better is an ill-advised expectation. They have extreme problems over there, demographic problems that are not going to go away for 20 and 30 and 40 years, and real estate problems that are not going to go away for a decade. So I think that we're going to see China be far slower than people anticipate. And the reshoring of of production of chips, of steel, of automobiles is going to be something that's going to be with us for a long period of time. My wife and I argue about that all the time. She thinks we should reshore. I think we should have continued to do what we had been doing for the past 20 years, which was to globalize. But right now, I'm losing that argument.
And losing your voice, hopefully not, actually, Dennis. So where does that leave you if you are an investor? I mean, the whole sort of growth versus value debate perhaps is a bit redundant now. What's your take?
I've been bearish of stocks since January of this year. And as the chairman of the University of Akron's endowment, I got us to move 5% of our portfolio, which in an endowment is a big move. I got us to move 5% of our endowment out to conserve spending capabilities, and I got us to move 3% of the portfolio into gold a year and a half ago to hedge against inflationary risks. In my own account, I'm reasonably bearish of the equities market, not overtly so. I've been wrong now for the past 8 weeks. I've been right for the past 11 months. I think that the rally that we've gone through since late September, early October, has been nothing more than a low-volume bear market rally that probably saw its highs in the course of the past several days. And so I'm quite bearish of share prices. We'll see what happens. I've been wrong for the last 8 weeks. I've been right for the last 11 months. We'll see if the rightness of the 11 months trumps the eight-week problem that I've had.
You don't like equities. You do like gold. Do you like bonds here?
I'm ambivalent to the bond market. I own a lot of two-year notes for my own account, and I've been buying them for the past several weeks. When you get over 4.5%, I think two-year notes make a great place to store cash. So I have a large position in my own account in two-year notes. I don't want to extend out the yield curve. I don't want to go anywhere past the five-year, to be blunt. So I'm neutral of the bond market, bearish of stocks, and very bullish of gold. And that's the position I have on in my own account. That's the position I moved the University of Akron's endowment to.
Dennis, thank you so much for joining us. Dennis Gartman, hope you feel better. Chairman of the University of Akron's Endowment Investment Committee and retired publisher of the Gartman Letter, and his take on the markets. This is Bloomberg